The Israel Report with Rolly Marks for the latest information and the stories behind the news.
Rolly Marks, it's been one of those afternoons. How are you doing?
I am so jelly that I am not in studio right now.
Have you tasted Kavalan as a matter of interest?
I haven't, but hearing all the talking about it means that I absolutely need to.
Yeah, it really does happen to be one of my favorites. I don't know that you can get it in Israel, actually. In fact, I've got the global ambassador here. Do you know if you sell to Israel, if this product is exported to Israel?
Not really at the moment. We are trying.
Yeah. Okay, so Rolene, we're going to have to make sure that we get you, Rolene Marks joins us for the Israel Report, and she is a very big whiskey fan. Mm-hmm. So we often talk whiskeys on the segment. Rolene, besides whiskey, tell us about Hezbollah firing rockets at Riyadh.
Well, I tell you, Howard, I think everybody who is anybody, including warmongers, listen to the Israel Report on your afternoon with Howard Feldman. Because what were we talking about yesterday about drawing those battle lines and forming those alliances?
Oh, sorry, Rolene, we lost you for a second.
I said anybody who's everybody listens to the Israel Report on your show.
Absolutely
because
right.
Because yesterday we were discussing drawing the battle lines in the region,
right,
and we
right.
were discussing alliances that are forming, and no sooner had we come off air than it was reported in the media that Hezbollah had fired a rocket or a missile at the capital of Saudi Arabia, Riyadh. And this happened apparently on Saturday under the orders of Iran. It was under the military censorship. This news was made public yesterday. And it's seen by Saudi Arabia as an act of war by Iran. So, again, things are certainly heating up in the region. We know that Hezbollah is an Iranian-sponsored proxy. They apparently are the ones responsible for firing this weapon, and they fired it from Yemen. And Hezbollah are big supporters of the Houthis in Yemen. So, and the Houthis in Yemen have captured territory. They are occupying certain territory. Things are very, very difficult for the Yemenites at the moment because of the Houthi rebels. And the Saudi minister, Al-Jabir, says that we see this as an act of war. Iran cannot lob missiles at Saudi cities and towns and expect us not to take steps. And he then cited Article 51 of the UN Charter, which of course we know does not comply to Israel, that says that any nation can act if an armed attack is made against it. So very, very interesting. And I wonder if we'll be seeing any calls for restraint against Hezbollah by Saudi Arabia.
So, Rolene, hold that thought. I just want to make one quick announcement, and then I'm going to come back to you because I'm fascinated by one aspect of it. One of our listeners, Lucan Day, says, Howard, sharing is a good quality to have. Where do I send my details for a bottle of that fine whiskey? Well, funny you should ask, Lucan. All you've got to do, but it applies to everybody, not just Lucan, all you've got to do is SMS me on 34519 or send a WhatsApp on 061-895-1019 with your name, and you have to tell me where Kavalan is made. All you've got to do is tell me where Kavalan is made, the country of origin, send me your name, and somebody, one of our lucky listeners, is going to walk away with a bottle. And I can tell you, this is well worth it. Kavalan single malt whiskey. It is absolutely superb. Rolene, whilst our listeners do that, the one thing that perplexes me is why would Hezbollah open up another front? They seem to be fighting a war all over the region. Now, clearly we know that they are sponsored by Iran. We know that that's where their funding comes from. But how is it that they are able or why would they want to now take on other fronts and other enemies?
Well, I think that the rhetoric, and I think your question is excellent, I think the rhetoric has been heating up over the last couple of months. We've seen very, very strong alliances and all kind of the maneuverings behind them come out in the last couple of months. We've seen it in the media. We see it with Al Jazeera versus Al Arabiya, which is the battle for the hearts and minds of the Arab people. One is Qatari-based, that is Al Jazeera. One is Riyadh-based, that is Al Arabiya. And we have heard a lot of language coming from Saudi leadership that Iran is meddling in the region, Iran is causing trouble in the region. We've seen overtures from the Saudis towards Israel because they know that Israel is a natural ally. We've seen the breaking down of diplomatic ties between Qatar, who is receiving a lot of support, a lot of sponsorship from Iran, and many of the other Gulf states, and also a little bit of warming up of rhetoric from some of these Gulf states towards the state of Israel. And so I think very, very clear lines are being drawn, not just in the region, but also between Saudi Arabia and the United States. Also, we are seeing, or at least we've heard that we will be seeing attempts to modernize the Saudi regime. You know, that's going to be a very interesting one to watch, and especially from the perspective of the rights of women in that country, and also that the Hezbollah supports the Houthis, which are seen to be against Saudi Arabia. So I think it's also a lot of Iran flexing its muscles.
Raleigh, is there a spreadsheet with this? Because I find this whole thing very, very confusing.
There's not so much a spreadsheet as a very, very complicated diagram with a lot of arrows and a lot of maps and a lot of red lines.
It's just unbelievable because there are so many aspects to this and so many proxy wars that are being fought in this area that it's virtually impossible to get a sense of it. You know,
and I just want to remind all those listeners or people out there who think that if you solve the Israel-Palestinian issue, that peace will come to the Middle East. Hello, have you not seen our map with the arrows and the red lines?
Right.
And this is what we're talking about. There are many, many, many issues. There's Sunni versus Shia. There are tribal aspects. There are ideological aspects. There are political aspects. There's territorial aspects. There's a nuclear race aspects. And I think while the Americans did then decide what to do about the deal with Iran, all this is taking place and battle lines are forming and there's a lot of saber rattling and the lines in the sand are being drawn.
Very, very frightening. And off air, I'm going to ask you, but I'm going to tell you now anyway what I'm going to ask you, is if we could get hold of an expert in the region to maybe simplify and give us a sense as to how this all plays out. I think that would be very interesting, certainly for me, and I would imagine for many of our listeners as well.
Definitely, and you can expect that recommendation in your WhatsApp box momentarily.
I have no doubt.
Because as you were asking, I was thinking.
All right, brilliant. Give us an update on this terrible situation in the United States. What is the latest on this Texas shooting? What do we know?
Well, what we do know about the shooting on Sunday night is that it is not religiously motivated. It is not a terror attack. It is not even or doesn't even seem to be criminally motivated, if that makes any sense. But rather it has been motivated by a domestic dispute. And just to recap, the murderer, his name is Devin Kelly. He's 26 years old. He was dishonorably discharged from the U.S. Air Force. He had neglected to mention that he did have a felony assault charge behind him. He walked into the First Baptist Church in Rutherland Springs, Texas, with a Ruger AR assault rifle, wearing Kevlar, wearing combat gear, and he killed 26 people and wounded 20 more. And one of the theories being batted around is that his mother-in-law attended this church and he had sent her some texts threatening her prior to this. You know, of course, this has definitely.
I mean, I know, I'm going to be shouted at for saying it, but like this is like the worst mother-in-law joke ever.
This is the worst mother-in-law joke ever.
Yeah.
It's
I mean, that's very rude, I know. But seriously, I mean, what kind of – never mind. All right. And I believe Donald Trump has been lambasted because he said – he put this down. He said it's not about gun laws. This is about mental illness. And apparently the psychiatric or one of the associations in America took him to task about this. So a lot of tremendous amount of sensitivity we're seeing in the United States with regard to putting where to put the blame on when these terrible incidents happen.
Well, I think one thing that I think those of us who don't live in the United States are getting sick and tired of hearing is all the discussion about gun control. What more needs to be done before something is done?
Yeah, absolutely right. I'd actually like to hear from our listeners.
We have got very, very strict gun control laws here.
Which is interesting because, you know, anyone who visits Israel sees, you'd think the opposite. Because when you walk around in the streets, you see people doing their military service. You see them walking everywhere with their guns. But what people don't always realize is the extent of the control. And the fact they're walking around with their guns is precisely because of that. They can't leave them somewhere. They've got to be responsible for their weapon at any given time.
And it's not just that. Not just anybody can get a license to shoot a firearm. Only people who live in certain areas that are under major security threat may apply for gun licenses. But for the rest of those who do carry guns, they are either army or police on duty or on reserve, or are of a very, very, very high rank, and they are allowed to carry guns. And again, very, very strict laws governing that. You have to renew your gun license every year. You have to go to the range. You have to clock in a certain amount of time. Very, very strict gun laws here. And, you know, apropos President Trump and his statement, you know, I think unfortunately in President Trump's defense, he has a notable lack of tact. We know. And we can't ignore the issues that somebody who might have severe mental issues, apparently he was known to be cruel to animals. There were domestic abuse charges against him. He went on numerous anti-religious rants. He sent threatening texts. This is somebody who, and you know what, there are a lot of issues that can be construed as fitting in within the spectrum of having a mental illness.
Absolutely.
And perhaps maybe what and I'm just speculating people here, so please save the hate mail for later.
Okay, don't send it directly to me. I'll pass it on to Rolene, 34519 or 0618951019. Since when are you sensitive, Rolene?
It's been one of those days.
I get it. Yeah,
but I think instead of having knee-jerk reactions, we need to think a little bit more laterally and why President Trump made the statement that he did.
Absolutely right. And I'm talking to Rolene Marks with the Israel Report. Just a reminder, we are giving away a bottle of Kavala, and all you've got to do is SMS me on 34519 or 061-895-1019. I want to know, where does Kavalan come from? And lots and lots of answers. But what I'm going to do is just scroll down the SMS line and or scroll up, however that's going to work. And we will give away wherever it lands. That's where we're going to. That's the person who's going to win it. So there is still an opportunity. 34519. Rolene, before I let you go, there's an interesting statement. Sisi and Abbas have got together, and Sisi saying to Abbas that I'm committed to peace. Tell us a little bit about this.
Well, this is very interesting. I think that Sisi has seized the opportunity to be the major broker of a potential peace deal between Israel and the Palestinians. And he met with Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas in Sharm el-Sheikh. This was at an international conference. And he said, Egypt is going to continue its efforts to resume negotiations between Israel and the Palestinians. And he wants to see a just and comprehensive solution that guarantees the right of Palestinians to establish their state along 67 borders and for the state of Israel to exist within safe and secure borders. Netanyahu has reiterated time and again, and we actually heard him say that in England this past week, both at speeches for celebrating the Balfour Declaration and in a very, very heated discussion on BBC News. He said, you know, all we want is recognition. The minute there is a recognition of Israel's right to exist, then we will have peace in between us and our neighbors. The big spanner is going to be Hamas, because Hamas have vowed that they have no intentions of stopping their desire, which is to see the destruction of the state of Israel. Because when Hamas talk about anything around the term occupation, they mean, or in their eyes, Israel's existence is occupation. Mm. It's not. They're not talking about the West Bank or the Gaza Strip. They're talking about Israel's existence is an occupation in the region.
Absolutely right there. Unfortunately, we do have to leave it. Time is 5:56. That's Rolene Marks with the Israel Report. We'll chat to her tomorrow. And I wish I could say to you, Rolene, considering the day that you've had, go and open a bottle of Kavalan. But where you are, you can't get it. So we're going to have to make sure somehow we get you one. That's the.
I thought that you were going to scroll down the messages and maybe I'd be the lucky winner.
Yeah, we like Amazon. We send everywhere. Time is 5:56. That's Rolene Marks with the Israel Report, brought to you by the Blue Agency.
Hi, it's Barry Cohn from the Blue Agency.